Good afternoon and welcome to Showbiz Atlanta. It is Wednesday, April 11th. I always have to double check the calendar. And I am joined today, both in the studio and hopefully, if I did it right, on the phone by some lovely guys from SGI. So welcome to Mark in the studio.
Thank you.
Oh, Mark is nervous. We're gonna change that real fast. And then Floyd, are you there? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Excellent. Wow, I shockingly have pushed all the buttons correctly. It's amazing. And so, Floyd, you're out in California, right?
I am.
Okay, I have to turn you up. I don't usually have to say that, but I want everyone to hear your lovely voice. Okay, so I have to turn myself down. This is what always happens on the phone. It's all these adjustments and things that have to happen. It's very complicated here in the studio. All right, so SGI. What does it stand for again, Mark?
Silicon Graphics International.
Okay, but you don't really use that too much, do you? You just go with SGI?
SGI.
SGI, okay. And give me the basics. What does SGI do? Why is it related to show business? Because this is a show business show, so talk to me.
Absolutely. So Silicon Graphics International is a high-performance computing and technical computing company. We've been around for many years. Many people may know about Rackable Systems, and Silicon Graphics International actually was acquired by Rackable Systems in 2008 and kept the Silicon Graphics name because of the recognition in the industry.
Okay.
And high-performance computing, technical computing, and storage relating to the industry of entertainment media is certainly a key focus area for Silicon Graphics International.
And so we were talking.
You may remember SGI from the going all the way back to movies such as Jurassic Park or Terminator or the initial, large effects-driven movies, and that's really our legacy in the entertainment space. Probably a fact you don't know is that the majority of all movies produced in Hollywood are mastered on SGI storage. Our file systems are at the heart of virtually every movie production that exists today. The entire NBA archive, for example, is all on SGI, managed by SGI. The National Geographic Archive, Fox Sports in Australia, Weta Digital, which is, a seminal company in graphics production for the film industry. That's all running on, a massive amount of SGI storage. So from our compute side and our heritage in both the Web 2.0 space as well as on the very rich storage ecosystem, we're sort of right at the core of a lot of key entertainment industry activities.
So, Floyd, you mentioned the sort of legacy of some of the movies like Jurassic Park and the special effects sort of becoming more prevalent in show business. But explain what SGI's role in that is.
Well, the role that SGI started in is different than what it is today. In the past, that type of graphic effects required massive supercomputing level capabilities, which 25 years later, you've got that similar capability in a laptop. But what hasn't changed is that the generation of data and the management of data has been a constant. So whereas SGI in the past was more in the workstations and in the graphics special effects, over time that has evolved more into the storage infrastructure, or what I call storage ecosystem, for managing the production of the content. So managing the archiving of the content and enabling the tools to be able to easily repurpose the digital media content, both on the post-production side and on the delivery side.
Yeah, so I was asking Mark before we went on the air, so explain to me, where would I see SGI stuff? Am I in the production room? Am I seeing the hardware with the SGI label on it? Where do you fit into the picture? And I think you sort of just answered that. But
yeah.
With the digital needs, with media, we were talking about this too. There's so much. I mean, obviously all businesses, we talked about Amazon a little bit. We had a great talk before we got on the air. Hopefully we can reproduce it here. But there's the media, especially anybody who's ever even tried to make a home movie and put it from their camera onto their computer or send it to their, you know, their loved ones over email, realizes how big just a simple little home movie is in terms of file size. So when you're talking about a feature film, it must be outrageous.
Well, it is. And it's, it, you know, because there's multiple levels of this. I mean, in the old days, they used to shoot film. And so they might shoot, you know, thousands and thousands of yards of film, which would then get, you know, cut down into a movie. Well, the same thing occurs today, you know, except even if it's in a digital environment where individual, the camera masters, if you will, similar to the film masters, you know, are only one element. When you start adding graphics, layers, sweetening, other types of things to that, you have what is really a digital explosion. So that, you know, and also just from the resolution standpoint, if you look at, you know, movies even a few years ago were all produced in 2K, which means 2,000 pixels is the width of a single frame. Well, you know, some time ago that increased to 4K. Well, it's now increasing to 8K, but then add to that 3D, and what you've done is exponentially grown the volume of digital content that must be managed for a single asset.
Right.
Oh, and then let's add one more dimension, where not only do you have to manage the production of that content, but then you have to do versions for any number of different delivery platforms.
Right.
Everything from a cable, a master for a cable distribution, for something that would be shown on an airplane, something that would be repurposed for a handheld device. All of these are new digital masters that have to be made from the original. So it's really an explosion of data that the companies have to manage.
Right. And I think, you know, the average consumer of entertainment probably has no clue about what all of that takes and just assumes they're sort of like one copy and what's the big deal and just why don't you just serve it to my phone faster, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, over 60% of the storage dollars spent by the entertainment industry are spent on archiving, and we're talking billions of dollars. The NBA archive, for example, 7 years ago when we started that project, they had 500,000 hours of tape or film, I mean, all different formats. Every day that there's a game, they're producing another. Every game has 9 cameras, HD cameras, each producing a file that is 3 hours long. If you have 16 games, you know, in a given day, times a season, that's a massive amount. So they're infrastructure is growing at 10 to 20 terabytes a day. And that's just a big problem in not only just the cost, but also just how do you physically manage all of that?
Well, I was going to say, I assume that what you guys do is not, and you can kind of dig into this and explain it a little more, but I assume it's not just simply the storage, it's the retrieval too, because Mark and I, again, were chatting a little bit about this. He's being awfully quiet. But, you know, part of what needs to happen is that people need to, not only does all that stuff need to be stored, but people need access to it. Producers need access to it quickly. If they're trying to, you know, if it's the NBA and they're trying to put together a highlight reel, or if it's whatever it is for, if it's just to serve something up, I'm sure, for an internet app or whatever, you want it to be quick. So is the retrieval part of it something that you guys deal with?
Absolutely. And that's it, and you've zeroed right in on a core problem at the NBA. So, for example,
I cheated. Mark helped me.
So, for example, if you've got 9 cameras on a single game, shooting the same content from different angles, each one is a 3-hour-long file, but I guarantee you that the clip that they're going to want for their highlight reel, for the evening's news broadcast, out of those 9 times 3 hours, they're going to want 10 seconds, just 10 seconds. So how do you find that 10 seconds? And that's all about the metadata management that lives on top. And so what happens is that as these content and the approach is different from different industries. You know, Nat Geo for their archive will use different types of what's called metadata. The film industry uses other things, but in the case of the NBA, every time that somebody touches the ball, you'll have people sitting on the sidelines doing what's called logging. So they will log the event, and which means that if Kobe grabs the ball, somebody will punch a touch screen on the sideline that says Kobe's jersey number, and it indexes that to that time of day.
That's amazing.
When he shoots or passes, it creates another index. So then a producer back in New York, he can say, give me all the shots of Kobe when he's wearing a home jersey, playing in such and such a circumstance when he does a three-point shot.
Wow.
And the system will go through and pull out of all of those massive files just the few seconds that relate to those bits of metadata. And then that gets pulled back into a queue that a producer sitting at a desk, either in the offices or in his hotel room or at home, they can access those logs, and within minutes they can put together a show that pulls out of the millions of clips just the few that they need.
Okay, this might be a stupid question, but I know there's no such thing as a stupid question, so I'm asking it anyway. Is the equipment that does the logging SGI also?
No, that's just a laptop.
Okay.
You know, there's nothing special about that. It's
okay.
And again, you know, it will be different for different industries, but in some cases we will auto-detect that metadata out of the content, scene changes or other references.
Okay.
In some cases it's a manual process, and usually it's a combination.
Okay. Now what about, this is I'm off the wall now, I'm just going off the wall, but what about in the old days obviously it wasn't all digital, everything was on actual film, and all these companies, mm-hmm. like locally too, like Turner Classic Movies and things like that, are trying to get all this stuff digitized so that it will last forever. Is that something they would use SGI for storage for as well?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, the NBA archive, their project is they're into the seventh year of what is still got quite a few years to go, and that's taking that 50-year-long archive and digitizing it. The film industry has a different problem in that they look at archives that need to last 100 years. And right now, there's specific issues with digital that they're wrestling with. So there's industry forums that look at this. But the key again is low cost storage for the data,
right?
And ensuring that you can access it. And to do this, I mean, one of the key technologies that we use is what we call a hierarchical storage, which means that if you buy a hard drive, even if you go to Best Buy or someplace and buy a hard drive, that costs you a certain amount of money to buy, but it also draws power and generates heat. When you've got, you know, thousands or even hundreds of thousands of such drives, the power budget of what they draw and the heat that they generate is extraordinary.
Right.
And so what we'll do is part of our core technology is to provide a seamless hierarchy of storage such that all of that high-speed, high-powered, expensive storage up front can actually be a very small amount. And to the user, they just see this massive multi-petabyte library. But we're really only presenting a small amount of that, which is really this high-speed transactional storage on front. Everything else is virtualized into tiers of lower-cost storage or even tape that the user would never even know where that data is.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's the caveat, because if the user, they're not really concerned about where it's sitting as long as they can get it quickly.
Right.
That's folks in IT want to keep that cost down
right.
as low as possible.
Right. So do you have to make decisions about which data needs to be most easily accessed, or is it just all automatically easily accessible? Does that make sense?
Usually it's all automatically easily accessible.
Okay.
Again, it's what we call an active archiving approach.
Okay.
In a digital world, I mean, a traditional archive is something you take, you know, and you put it on a shelf, and when you need it, you go and get it again. In a digital world, that model doesn't work. You know, the content needs to be always accessible all the time.
Right.
The problem is that over, you know, 90% of the data on any hard drive system is seldom accessed again. In some cases, maybe never, or in other cases, maybe once a year. So
right.
If you have a high-speed, you know, power hungry spinning disk system that is, you know, holding inactive data, it's very inefficient.
Right. Right.
So by being able to use this hierarchy to automatically present this seamless, everything available all the time view of the world, we're able to do this in such a way that doesn't cost that kind of power and gives people the control over massive amounts of content without having that either the power or the single point of failure problem.
Right. I mean, it seems like all the trends in all of technology, probably since all of us have been alive, is for everything to get smaller, more in a smaller space for less money, right?
That's right.
So putting that aside, are there other sort of key trends in your business that you see directly affecting entertainment?
Yeah, density, and you sort of touched on that a little bit, and that is, you know, what we call density. So when you had a library of content that might, let's say, a petabyte, which sounds like a lot to the casual user, but in media terms, especially for content owners, is very small. Well, just a couple of years ago, a petabyte would take up several racks worth of space. Now we're able to, you know, concentrate down, you know, multiple petabytes into a single rack, and then provide that level of performance. So it just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller, so that you're not taking up the real estate, which adds cost, because it fundamentally gets down to dollars and cents.
Of course,
if you can rationalize the cost by either creating greater density, more power savings, easier accessibility for repurposing, then it's justifiable. It becomes a justifiable solution to spend money on.
Interesting. So for movie productions, TV productions, things like that, are they needing to learn how to work differently in any way, or can they just kind of do whatever they want? Or do they need to sort of learn how to manage things so that they can store it in the best possible way?
Well, that's where you get kind of in a two-tier problem. Because you'll have the front-end production. So, you know, when they're shooting a show, for example, or when they're doing the primary editing, they might be doing those on standalone systems. But it's when you take the finished product, or if you're in a motion picture where you've got a lot more things that get done to it, such as the, you know, special effects or other things.
Right, when they want to airbrush me and make me look younger like that.
Yes, when they want to make me look a lot better.
Right,
yes.
There you go.
So that generates a lot more content. Also, you know, individual production companies might work on a show, but then when they get brought into the sort of the corporate level for distribution, then you get into other things. And that's where consolidation of resources becomes very important.
Okay, interesting. So in terms of, you know, SGI covering this market, how much, you guys said you have a lot of the business already in terms of Hollywood, right? Is that accurate?
Well, we're in niche areas. I mean, SGI used to be synonymous with media and entertainment. Now we're more in the infrastructure, not so much on the desktop.
Right.
So, yes, I mean, we've got strong presence in core pockets of the infrastructure, absolutely.
And we have Mark here in the Southeast, in the Hollywood of the South.
That's right.
Running out to capture all this local business here.
Yep.
So tell me some of the clients and projects that you're working with, Mark.
Well, right now we have developed a solution with Univision out of South Florida, which they use for media ingest.
Okay.
And it's actually, they've expanded it quite a bit. It's being used very very heavily. They've had it installed for about a year. We also are very fortunate to have other clients in the area of traditional compute environments, such as Voxeo.
Okay.
We work with St. Jude Children's Medical Research Hospital.
Okay.
These are non-media areas in the focus of genomics research, where they just need high-performance compute.
Yeah, that goes solutions. Way over my head.
But in the area specifically that we're focusing on today, for key solutions around media ingest and that, Univision is a great reference customer for us here in the Southeast.
Gotcha. And for people who aren't familiar, are they a news organization? Is that what they do?
Yes.
Okay. I'm
yes.
vaguely familiar with them, because they're not super big here in Atlanta, I think, right?
They have
some presence here. But.
They're based out of Miami, and it's basically a Latino radio
right.
Services for television broadcast and radio broadcast.
Right. That's what I thought. I think they do have some presence here, don't they? I'm not sure.
They may have some presence here, but their headquarters is in
right. But there are a lot of big media companies here, obviously.
Oh, there is.
Turner, and I think you mentioned Cox before we got on
Turner
the air.
Turner and Cox. And with those, we really are reintroducing SGI to those companies.
You know,
our goal is to say, you may have known from us, like Floyd was mentioning.
More in the desktop
in
days.
In the desktop space. Now, here's where we are in the infrastructure. We'd like to reintroduce ourselves to you.
I gotcha.
That's why we're here today.
And why you're going to be where coming up on April 26th?
Yeah, on April 26th, we're actually going to be actually downtown. We're hosting a big data event. We're bringing in a number of speakers from Cloudera, as well as Sunny Sundstrom, who's our product manager. That's going to be talking about our big data solution offerings around managing and
big data just sounds so impressive.
It is. It's much like what Floyd was talking about. How do you manage this massive amount of data that's coming in, to the advantage of the business? How do you take that data and actually use it to give you a competitive edge?
And so we should be clear for everybody that this is an event in association with the TAG Entertainment Society.
Yes.
TAG, which is Technology Association of Georgia, I believe, right?
Correct.
And the event is where?
On April 26th.
Right.
And it's located at, I got the address there on the
sheet.
Yeah,
75
Fifth Street, that's correct. It's at 5:30. We're going to be having cocktails and reception at 5:30.
Mark will be drunk by 6.
Yes.
No, he won't.
And we'll have two speaking sessions and then Q&A. And we're excited because it's going to be very informative, but also very interactive.
And if anyone is interested in registering for that, you can go to www.tagonline.org/events, or just go to the tagonline.org, and I'm sure you'll be able to click through to the Entertainment Society events list from there. But okay, so if people are in a small, if you're not a huge, if you're not the NBA or National Geographic, and you are starting as a media company to have some of these storage issues, do you guys have solutions for smaller or medium-sized production companies?
Absolutely. I mean, in fact, we just reintroduced, publicly announced yesterday, a product we call SGI NAS, and that is, in a single unit, you can start what NAS means, network attached storage. It is a production box where a small company that may be starting with digital media content or something, that they need an archive target, an active archive target. This can be their primary storage to consolidate material that they might be generating in workstations or cameras or other edit suites, but then also has the power to serve that out for their infrastructure. So that, that's one of SGI's strong points, is the ability to really scale from the very, very small, what we consider small, with all the way up to the extremely large, such as the National Geographic Archive or the NBA Archive or others.
Now, I like when you said, well, what we consider small, because I guess everybody does have their own definition of small and big, really. Mm-hmm. For me, if it's chocolate cake, small might not be that small, but for someone else, who's, you never know. But so tell me, what does small mean to you? What is a small company?
small to me means 30 terabytes, 30 to 50 terabytes.
Okay.
And one of the key problems in this industry is that you can buy solutions that are perfect for 30 to 50 terabytes, but which are don't scale. So when you start getting into, you know, 900 terabytes or multiple petabytes, you're out of luck, which means you have to start over from scratch. What our systems are designed to do is to be able to take, you know, individual components and scale them from where you are today to really where you and your data will be a decade from now. We feel that if you don't have that type as sort of a fundamental element of your technology, then you're only providing part of a solution.
Right. So for the people that are not technical, I'm not naming names or pointing at myself or anything, but for the people that are not super technical, like how much is a petabyte? Like if you're talking in terms of movies, like how many movies fit into a petabyte?
Well,
I know that's probably a really weird question because it's probably not that simple.
No,
but
you could consider that. I mean, there's many ways to define that. I mean, because there's the source material, there's the different masters and so forth. But I would say that a petabyte is maybe two movies of content.
Okay.
If you really expand it out to the whole thing.
Okay.
You know, and that would include, you know, mastered materials, effects. You know, the digital masters that they send out to theaters as well as, you know, other types of things.
So sensibly, I'm just trying to, like, put this into my own, in terms that my own head can actually get around, but also, you know, I think a lot of the listeners of this show are sort of, you know, maybe in independent production companies that are maybe making a couple of movies a year. You know, they're not Hollywood, you know, churn mills.
Yeah, at that level, you're probably talking a tenth of that size.
Right.
So 50 terabytes, you know, for an independent production, you could do a lot of damage with 50 to 100 terabytes.
But so I think it sounds like what you're saying is, though, the best idea is to sort of course, you guys say get in with you guys, but certainly to have a plan, a long-term plan for your, you know, if you're not going to just make one movie and get out, if you're in this business and you plan to be here and you plan to keep making more and more and more content, that you need to have a plan for storing it.
Right.
I think the key element, you're absolutely right, and the key element of that plan is what do you do with the data that you need for today? And that's one solution. And then what do you do with the data that you're going to need 2 years from now?
Right.
If you're using the same storage for both of those problems, then you're wasting money.
Right. Right.
And so by being able to have a strategy by being able to have a strategy that enables you to have a seamless link between your short-term needs and production needs and your deep archive needs is essential in this business today.
Right. And as you said, I mean, this, you guys obviously do this for other industries as well. And certainly within the entertainment industry, it's not just movie or TV production, but, you know, as you said, sports, news.
Well, you mentioned it yourself. I mean, big data sounds, you know, we start talking about genomic sequencing and big data, it sounds like, oh, that's a whole different thing. The reality is, you know, genomic sequencing is very similar in workflow and problems to the same types of things that Hollywood really pioneered, you know, five or ten years ago. So we see this all the time in our world where there's a lot of cross-fertilization in best practices of data management that are taken from Hollywood and brought over into other industries and vice versa.
Awesome. Okay, well, Mark, give me like every piece of contact information you have so that people who are listening who know they need more storage can find you and SGI here in the Southeast.
Absolutely. Our website, of course, is sgi.com. My email address is markanderson@sgi.com.
Oh, you're really giving all the information. I love it. I asked and you delivered.
Absolutely.
Okay, sgi.com, markanderson@sgi.com. The tag event, again, is April 26th.
It's April 26th, yes.
Tagonline.org for
yes.
That one. What else? Anything else that we need to tell people?
That's the main thing. You know, we're I'm based in Atlanta. I've been in Atlanta for over 20 years, and we're excited. We're helping clients in this area, especially when they're not sure what direction to go. Maybe they want to sit down and just talk about some of these challenges they're facing.
Right.
We have the expertise and the folks that can sit down and understand where they need some help. You know, we're all about understanding what the requirements are and developing solutions.
And so if people are in Atlanta listening, the best thing probably to do to get started, if anything else, is just to go to the TAG event.
Absolutely.
It's a good introduction, and Mark will be there with a few drinks in him, so maybe you can get a discount. I'm just saying.
That's right.
Floyd, before we wrap up, any last thoughts from your end?
No, just that I appreciate the conversation. I mean, it's often when we think about media, you know, people gravitate towards the, you know, the front end, you know, the what's going on in the effects booth or what's going on in the, you know, techniques for production.
Sure.
But it's the management of all of that content that really is where the rubber meets the road in terms of the real growth problems in this industry.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, you know, I think everyone, that's it's storage and the things you guys offer, I think, are the things people take for granted and until it goes wrong. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, until you have, like, you have that O-S-H asterisk T moment where you're like, crap, I just lost all my stuff.
Right.
And I can't get what I need, or I'm in the booth and I can't get it fast enough, or whatever the case may be. So you're right. I think it'd be good for people to be thinking about that up front. So
fundamentally, it's their asset, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's what they make their money with, is those assets.
That's right.
It's got to be job one to protect.
Right, and we're all about the back end of stuff here at Showbiz Atlanta. That's what we're about, the business side of this crazy business. So I appreciate you guys both coming on, and thanks to SGI for getting me all the information about you guys. And we'll be back next week with more wonderful Showbiz Atlanta.